The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this episode are that of the guest and host and do not necessarily reflect the values of sponsors or other associated organizations. Welcome to The Parental Compass by Family Education and Support Services. I am your host, Bobby Williams. Please subscribe to the show. All the platforms let you do it, and leave us a comment. As you can see, we are here recording in our new incredible studio. If y'all like it, we might do some more shows here. Give us some feedback. We want to know what you think. Today, the subject is foster care, specifically foster parenting, and ideas that you should think about when considering becoming a foster parent. Amanda Finney is the director of the foster care program at Community Youth Services. She has worked with youth in foster care for over 20 years now, and for the last 6 years has been a foster parent herself. She has a great combination of professional experience meets that real life experience. We got in depth with it. We talked about the joys, the challenges of foster care, and I think you're going to get a lot out of this. Check it out.
Yeah, and if I think about, you know, my own biological children, you know, they don't express their gratitude or like, man, mom, thanks so much for making this dinner tonight, or thanks for going to work so you can buy me school clothes. Like, there's just an expectation. And so, you know, I think it's really hard when foster families expect gratitude from a young person who's never even like kind of had that structure or that model for them. And, you know, the reality is like our kids should just expect to be taken care of and to be loved. Like, that shouldn't be something that they need to be grateful for.
Something I've witnessed over the years is that sometimes it can be easy to feel resentful at the biological parents or look at all these awful things they did to this child. And that seems like that's a reasonable human feeling. But how do you balance that with also being compassionate?
For me personally, it really is about being trauma-informed and just really recognizing that the parents, I've never met a parent who didn't ultimately love their child, regardless of how their actions came out or, you know, the scenarios that they put that child in. Every parent in my experience has always loved their child. And so really being able to recognize that when abuse or neglect or all of these other scenarios happen, that typically there's underlying factors. A lot of times there's mental health, substance use is a huge one that we see in our community right now, fentanyl and the fentanyl epidemic. Is a really big factor in child welfare and foster care. And I've had, you know, conversations with some of my older kids who've been placed in my home around, you know, like why their parents made the choices that they made. And it's a really hard line to walk because you want to make sure that you're really like listening and supporting and validating the young person without saying anything negative about their birth family, because at the end of the day, they're going to defend them and they're going to protect them.
If only we could just have that same compassion all the time and even with ourselves sometimes. What are some of the questions that foster parents should be asking themselves when they're considering having a foster child in their home?
I think really questioning, you know, like, do you have the capacity for the emotions? And the emotions can go from very high to very low. Some of the best days of my life have come in being a caregiver and a foster parent. Some of the hardest moments of my life have come from also being a foster parent. So, you know, really being able to recognize, you know, the need to kind of go with the flow. If you're a really rigid person, that might be challenging to have a foster youth in your life because things are going to come up, you know, family visits, kid might have something come up at school and you have to drop everything and run to the school to, you know, take them a change of clothes or to pick them up because they got in trouble. And so you just got to have that ability to just kind of go with the flow. A sense of humor is humongous. You have to be able to not only laugh at yourself, but also kind of just laugh at the scenario and the situations that you find yourself in. Some of the things I have said, I'm like, I never thought that that would come out of my mouth. You know, just that's a general parenting thing. I think other things is, you know, do you have a support system? Like, if I am really honest with myself. I don't know that I could do what I do day in and day out, both at work and also at home, without having my group of friends who I text and talk to at least daily, who get it. They're also foster and adoptive parents, and they understand the, you know, highs and the lows, and really help me kind of battle through the bad days and celebrate the good days. I think another key factor in determining if you're ready to foster or if fostering is kind of the right decision for you and your family is, how does everyone in your home feel about that? If not everyone is on the same page, then it's not going to work. And so my husband and I went into foster care, both kind of, you know, I had a lot of the professional experience, which my husband didn't, but both of us growing up had siblings who were in foster care. Our parents were foster parents and adopted. Each of us have adopted siblings. And so we had that benefit of walking into it with that. And we also were on the same page. We really worked hard to make sure that every time we've said yes to a child, it was a joint decision for us to say yes together. And as our kids have gotten older, or, you know, depending on the youth that we have in our home, like really having that family conversation around, is this the right decision to accept another youth into our home? And sometimes there's no way around it. You know, I'm also a kinship provider. And so when my family member needed care, there really wasn't any like discussion. It was just like, this is happening. This person is moving in and we're going to figure out how to manage this as a family. And we're going to support each other.
You've both raised biological children and foster children. Do you have a different approach to parenting? Do you have the same approach all the time? Or how has that been the same or different?
You know, honestly, it's been very similar when we have raised the children from birth up. And so, you know, obviously our first son, we brought home from the hospital, and we've had a couple of kids that we've also brought home from the hospital, and our approaches are very similar, especially early in the stages. You know, you're going to love them, you're going to cuddle them, you're going to feed them, you're going to do all of those parenting things. Where I have noticed it's a little bit different is when we're accepting youth into our home who are older. And so, you know, having a young person come in at the age of 16 versus, you know, raising my son, you know, when he turns 16, I have a different approach then, because I have to really work on developing that relationship. I have to really kind of show that young person that I'm committed to them. And I can't take that for granted, that they're just going to accept that. And for, you know, my biological son, he's going to know when he's 16 years old that, like, I'm not going to turn my back on him the next day. And there's that trust and that reciprocity that's been built into our relationship over 16 years. But when you have a brand new child in your home who has never met you, it is quite a bit different. So that part of it can be a lot different. The other piece is like just having a lot more patience and accepting mistakes as part of parenting. And so I make mistakes. My husband makes mistakes. My children all make mistakes. You know, even the absolute best teenager in the world is going to just make some dumb choices, because that is their like role in life at that point, is to develop their own identity and have some independence away from their family. And then, you know, that can play a lot into parenting. I think it's really,
how you learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's how you learn. And I think it's really important that, you know, while you're going to have more patience, and you're going to be more informed on like trauma and how that impacts child development and behavior, really at the end of the day, you want to have the same level of compassion and care for all of your kids.
You brought up teenagers in foster care, and I think there's often a hesitancy to foster teens because there might be feelings like, oh, you know, they're not really going to be a deep part of our family, or they're kind of developed into who they are already. What's your response to that?
We've had about 25 placements over the years, and babies are cute and cuddly and they're great, but teenagers, they come in and you can engage with them. You can ask them questions. You can ask about what types of activities they enjoy doing, and you can share interest. You know, one of my children who's now a young adult who had experienced foster care, they absolutely love horses. And so having them be able to tell me about horses, or, you know, I took a bunch of my young adult and teenage kids to a New Kids on the Block concert. And it was absolutely the best night of my life. We had so much fun, just all like being goofy and silly together and just really connecting through music. And, you know, I can't do that with, you know, a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. You know, the 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds are really fun. And, you know, they sometimes, you know, can be a little bit easier because, you know, they might, you know, pick their toys up when you tell them to. And my teenagers, I'm like, hey, you need to clean your room. They're like, yeah, whatever. Because that's what teenagers do. And so teenagers are amazing. I really encourage people to like take a chance and say yes, because again, teens are amazing.
So you have a lot of experience as a foster parent yourself and working with foster parents. Are there any similar qualities that go into being a good foster parent or personality traits, or what makes a good foster parent?
I think a good foster parent is somebody who can, you know, care about others in the community, who is not going to feel jealous over a relationship with the birth family and feel that need to compete with a birth parent. Somebody who is going to be able to be flexible and, you know, just accept young people for where they're at in that moment. And really being able to weather the highs and the lows of parenting. And so, you know, you can't give up the first time a mistake is made, whether it's a mistake that you make or a mistake that the child makes, because we're all going to make mistakes. And so you just got to be able to like kind of get through that and stay committed and recognize, you know, like kind of like, what is the end goal for you? Is the end goal to, you know, be well known for all of these kids that you had in your home? That's probably not going to work out so well. If your end goal is to really be there and support young people in your community and the families that are in your community, then, you know, sometimes you got to keep that perspective, because there are days that are hard.
What are the types of people that can become foster parents? Do you have to be a parent already? Can you be single and be a foster parent?
That is a great question. So here in Washington, you have to be 21 years old. You can either own your own home, rent a home. You know, your home doesn't have to be any type of prescribed space. It does need to meet some licensing standards that include having a fire extinguisher and smoke alarms, kind of those basic safety things. And in Washington, you can be married or single. You could be like just, you know, living with a partner without having the official marriage certificate. There's really no right or wrong to foster families. And I think a lot of time people feel like, oh, you know, I made these mistakes when I was younger. Maybe I have a, you know, criminal record that is, you know, minor, where there's not, you know, ongoing concern for safety. And, you know, in my experience, those are the individuals who make really good foster parents, because they understand that like mistakes are made, and they also understand the resiliency that it takes and the resiliency that our kids have in overcoming those mistakes and, you know, jumping over those hurdles.
It helps to have a little bit of grit too.
Yes.
Well, so you've been on both sides of this. What surprised you about actually becoming a foster parent and fostering youth? Was there something that you didn't expect, even with all of your professional experience?
I think back on some of my expectations of myself as a foster parent 6 years ago, and I just laugh. You know, I really thought like when I went into foster care in my personal life that because of my professional experiences, it was going to be like not easy, but I was really going to, you know, like reality really kind of like stepped in the way. It was like, whoa, wait a minute. And so, you know, I had to learn and grow and accept some truths about myself that were kind of hard to accept, because I really thought like, oh, this is going to be so easy. And it really wasn't. You know, adjusting from having one child, our birth son was about 7 months old when we started foster care, and adjusting from having one child to more than one was really hard. And, you know, my husband and I, now we look back and we laugh about like, man, remember when we thought 2 or 3 kids was like really challenging? Because many days we have 6 kids full time at our home, and oftentimes we have 7. And so it's just like, you know, 2 kids is like it's so easy now. And so I think some of the things that really struck me was having to let go of some of my personal beliefs around how society views me when I'm out in the community with my kids. And so like, if my kids are like refusing to eat their dinner, like what's going to be my approach? And so, you know, I knew professionally, like, you know, having a battle over food is not something you're ever going to win. But then like when it came to like real life, I felt really compelled to have power struggles over food or things that really didn't matter in the moment.
Those power struggles are just so tough to avoid too. Or, you know, I always say, don't get into power struggles. And it's like, well, but I want to win the power struggle.
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, like really having to learn, you know, like what battles am I going to pick today? What truly matters? And, you know, also like the reality of like working with other families and birth families and really being able to offer that compassion towards them and the ability to walk with them and support them. You know, I've learned so much from birth parents and just watching how they have overcome so many barriers in their life. And, you know, being on the sidelines and like just kind of being there to support them every single day has taught me so much about parenting, because at the end of the day, like, that's why we're doing this.
And a lot is on the line when it comes to foster parenting too. One, you have a young person's life, but then sometimes there aren't enough foster homes, right? And then what happens to young people?
So here in Washington, you know, young people were being housed in hotel rooms for a while, and that practice has really been discontinued for multiple reasons. And so, unfortunately, I think what happens oftentimes is that young people get placed in homes that really aren't prepared for either their level of need or their age or, you know, kind of whatever their unique situation is. And so they end up going from home to home to home. And, you know, whether they're sometimes it might be that it's intended to be a one night stay, or maybe a family's like, I can commit for the weekend, but I can't keep them past Monday. And so we have young people and babies even who are bouncing from home to home. At CYS, we work really hard to make sure that that doesn't happen. And that's one of the benefits of being a private agency contracting with the state, is that, you know, we can say no to a placement if we know that we don't have a family available. But for the state, they have no other choice. You know, if they have a young person in their custody, they have to find placement for that young person. And so oftentimes we do see these night to night placements, which are just so detrimental to our kids.
Well, I'm glad they're at least not putting them in hotels, but, you know, home to home doesn't sound good either.
No.
What about if you just want to try, like, is there any way to ease into being a foster parent? Do you just have to immediately commit and you have a kid in your home indefinitely? Or is there a way to like kind of dip your toe in the water?
There is. And so a great option for families who kind of want to see like, you know, is this going to work out for our family, is to get licensed and be a respite parent. And so here in Washington State, foster families are guaranteed to have respite time. And so a respite parent is somebody who is licensed. They've met all of the requirements and the standards, and they can have that young person for, you know, maybe a couple of hours all the way up through a couple of weeks. And so some families, when they're going on vacation, you know, they're not able to bring that foster youth with them for multiple reasons. And so that, you know, little guy or teenager is going to, you know, go into a respite placement. And that really is a great opportunity to see like, okay, can I manage all of the stressors and all of the commitments and responsibilities of being a foster parent? And also to kind of get used to the day in and day out stuff and being able to like celebrate the small wins, because that's what this is all about. And just enjoying spending time with the kids.
We focus so much on the challenges of all this and, you know, behavior challenges, the bio parents, but what are some of the joys and rewards that come from being a foster parent?
For me, the joys and the rewards are, you know, having my kids who are now young adults, just feeling comfortable enough to just walk into our home. The other morning, it was Sunday morning, and we're sitting on the couch and my door opened and I look over because I'm like, who's walking in my house at 7:30 on Sunday morning? And it was one of my older daughters who was just stopping by. She ended up having to work and she drove by and our lights were on. So she was coming in the house to just come hang out for the day. And so for me, that's a huge reward. It's just knowing that my kids feel safe and they know that they have that connection that will last a lifetime. Another reward is, you know, working with families and seeing the families be able to make a sustainable change and being able to have their kids come back home and supporting that transition back home and watching the family just flourish after that child comes home and watching that child grow, go on and like be able to accomplish, you know, all of the things that they wanted to. That's another huge win for us.
Amanda, you are doing incredible work and I'm glad you're out here doing this. So thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate coming.
Thank you, Amanda, for taking the time to talk with us and share your experience. You can learn more about Amanda's organization, Community Youth Services, by searching Community Youth Services on social media. This has been the Parental Compass by Family Education and Support Services. I am Bobby Williams. We'll see you next episode. Peace.